of sin.
All right, there's so much to hit. We're going to get into the Islamic Jihad that's been declared, how big a threat it is. Is it just a diversion from Israel? We're going to get into Candace Owens, who I like as a person, but I was forced to go investigate the stuff she was saying and doing, and I just didn't have to bring it to you. And Nick's got some stuff to talk about with that, but he wanted to briefly, and I think it's really important, and if he has more, we'll go to the next segment, on Brown University in Rhode Island and what's going on there. I don't know what the cover-up is, but clearly a cover-up's going on. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I saw this. Obviously, everybody saw it, this horrible mass shooting at Brown University. And, of course, I haven't talked about it on my show too much because we really don't know what happened there. We don't know who the shooter is. We don't know their identity, motivation, anything like that. But the one thing that I saw that I covered on my show is, what is this response from the FBI? I see there's videos being uploaded of this FBI manhunt that's underway, and they got like a couple of dozen FBI agents out there literally kicking the snow around with their feet, with their hands in their pocket. And I saw that, and, you know, we've talked a lot about the Trump administration and where we'd like it to improve and where they're falling short and so on. And I said on my show the other night, I think the biggest area where they're falling short is, where is the competence? It reminds me of when they did that military parade back in June, and they had people marching in the parade, holding drones up over their head, not even flying them with the actual remote control, flying through the air electronically, but holding them up in their hand, walking down the street. That was your big military demonstration. Department of War, America's back. Then you get this FBI. First, they blow the Charlie Kirk investigation. Now you have this mass shooter who's just gotten away. School shooter just got away, went into some building, shot a bunch of people in the face, literally walks away. They go, okay, well, rest assured, Kash Patel is on the case. The FBI is out there. We're going to do some good old-fashioned investigative reporting criminal investigation for that matter. They send out these FBI agents in the windbreakers, kicking the snow around. There's like 20 of them in a group, and they're kind of like walking around, looking up at the air, looking down at the ground. You're like, this is the same FBI of J. Edgar Hoover? This is the FBI of the United States of America? This is federal law enforcement? What is this? And so I think that's one of the greater disappointments, that it's just a clown show. And I'm just sitting here like, are other people watching the same movie, and what a joke the country has become, what a joke the federal government has become? At the same time, by the way, this is the same FBI that when we did the January 6th Capitol protests, these are people showing up at people's houses at 6 a.m., marching them out of their bedroom, throwing them in jail because they trespassed. You had some like grandma, you had some, you know, MAGA mom who was posting on Facebook, and they had people being marched into solitary confinement over this. Same FBI, by the way. Now you have somebody, it's a school shooter. Somebody shoots Charlie Kirk in the neck. They can't even find the person. So I saw that. I don't know what to say about the shooting itself. We don't really have any information. That's sort of the point. We haven't gotten to the bottom of it. But I'm seeing these videos and I'm thinking that's really the story by itself. This is a country now where school shooters are getting away with it. In 30, 40 years, your neighbor might be a school shooter that got away with it. You know, you've heard of like, oh, my neighbor was a serial killer and I never knew. My neighbor was a gangster and I never knew that. Now it's going to be my neighbor committed a school shooting, a mass murder, somehow got away with it. That's the country now. So, but that's anarcho-tyranny. That's the state of the country when you have a state of tyranny for law-abiding people, a state of tyranny, Orwellian surveillance, police state, totalitarianism for a MAGA mom, for a grandma in the Capitol.
Yeah, that's how real communism or totalitarianism works, is good people are oppressed, bad people are turned loose because they work for the state, and that's where we are.
Right. So I'd like to see that reversed. I want to see tyranny for the criminals and illegals and globalists and lobbyists. And I want to see freedom and anarchy for law-abiding people, taxpayers, patriots, Christians. But we're not getting it. So that's more of the same. I'd like to see somebody get caught in this thing.
60-second break, but wait till you hear this. We're right.
When the system plays games, from the gym to the grind to the
Rainbow Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Now we see the you've got it.
Well, Nick's been talking about this for months, so have I, that we understand Trump has constitutional right. It's in our hemisphere. Venezuela has manipulated things to go in, but that's academically. Technically, we've said don't go in because the CIA and others will set you up in a quagmire, and Rubio wants Cuba, Mexico, all of it, Colombia. And that's a lot to bite off there because they're already failed states. So then we own it, even if we, you know, the leadership leaves. Well, Tucker Carlson, say what you want about him. He's got incredible sources. I know Nick's had his run-ins with him. I love Tucker, but I think you can put it in the bank if he said it. Though sometimes Trump may decide to pull back because of this. It's like 2 weeks ago, about, we were talking about Gino resigning by Christmas from the sources of Serafin. That proved to be incredible. But then Serafin's like, last night on the show, he goes, well, maybe he won't resign right away just to make us look wrong. Well, fine. If we stop a war, by getting them to jump the gun, fine. So here's a story on InfoWars.com. Breaking, Tucker Carlson says member of Congress told him Trump to announce war on Venezuela during tonight's presidential address. So, wow. And here he is on Judge Andrew Napolitano's show just about an hour ago.
Is Trump going to start a war in Venezuela?
He already did.
I don't know when this program airs, the one that we're on right now. This thing's maybe live.
Well, we're live now, and then okay. It'll be posted immediately. So right
so
now.
So my sense is, I don't know the answer. I've certainly been on the phone a lot about it. I have no power. I'm a podcaster, but I'm very interested. And so here's what I know so far, which is that members of Congress were briefed yesterday that a war is coming, and it'll be announced in the address to the nation tonight at 9 o'clock by the president. I who knows, by the way, if that will actually happen. I don't know. And I never want to overstate what I know, which is pretty limited in general. But a member of Congress told me that this morning. So that's what I know. My opposition to this, and I'm sure if you oppose this, they'll be like, oh, you're a communist, which I'm not. My opposition to it comes from what I've learned from watching closely for the past 25 years since I've been assigned to cover all these stories, including, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan. Like, I've watched, and there's not been a regime change effort that's benefited the United States or the world in 80 years that I'm aware of.
Well, that's the big thing, is the trillions and trillions per regime change. It's always a black hole. So we already covered this earlier, but I think there is a good chance he'll definitely brag about we're blocking them, all their ships. I think you're right. I think he'll announce we're at war with them, but then just use that as the pressure to have Maduro leave.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's an invasion. I don't think it's going to be a shock and awe. I think it'll be ground strikes, more pressure, maybe a new policy. And you're right. It'll be some, perhaps an ultimatum to get Maduro to resign, because I think that ultimately they don't really want to go to war there. I think they want to get Maduro out through pressure only. So I agree with you. I think that's where it's headed.
But they don't have three aircraft carriers there for no reason.
Well, but do they have three? I think they just have the carrier strike group. This is a classic Trump strategy. He did this in North Korea, too. Back in 2017, they deployed actually two carrier strike groups to the Sea of Japan and talked about fire and fury, and my button is bigger and it works, and we're going to do things to you. This is brinksmanship. And I think that this is your typical gunboat diplomacy, which is you literally put a giant gunship off the coast of a country, you start blowing stuff up, and then you say, this is the United States of America. You have 24 hours to leave. So you're right. I mean, there's There is a reason they have the warships there, and that is for a demonstration of force. It's a gesture which reinforces deterrence. Deterrence is really the foundation of everything. Wars are only fought because of miscalculations. And the point of doing a carrier strike group is to say, we have the assets, we're willing to use the assets. And if we do that, then you lose. There's no scenario where you win. It is over. So surrender or die. And that's where someone like Maduro in Venezuela says, all right, uncle, you can, you will. I guess I'll just take my deal and leave. So I think that's really the play there. I still think that there's going to be kinetic action. I think there's a good possibility of ground strikes. It will definitely escalate. But I don't think this is going to be some sort of full scale.
Absolutely. Just to be clear, They had two aircraft carriers there. They pulled them out, put the Gerald Ford, the biggest and newest, in, and they have five or six of the big amphibious Marine and Navy smaller carriers. But just technically, there's a lot of ships there.
Yeah, it's the biggest force posture in the Caribbean ever, I think, is what they said. It's more warships that have ever been deployed in that in the Southern Command field of command than ever in the United States. So, and Trump has said that on True Social. So, I mean, you're certainly right. It's a massive force posture, and it's definitely going to be used for something military. I just don't think it'll be a full-scale ground invasion. That's just not enough assets, actually. I don't think they have enough personnel for something like that because the chain of command is dispersed. If they're going to do a kind of effects-based operation, they're going to go for command and control. You're talking about invading multiple cities. You're talking about jungle terrain, huge population. You need more than 20,000 troops, or they have 12,000.
You need 20,000 administrators to take over Venezuela. It's the size of
Exactly.
Texas.
Exactly. So that's not an invasion force, but I think there could be there's a possibility of kinetic strikes on the ground, even though there might not be an invasion.
All right, shifting gears. I watch your show a lot. You mainly cover policy and issues, so do I. But the whole soap opera that's begun with you with Tucker and then back and forth, that's kind of blown over. Candace Owens, the ongoing thing. I like Candace. And just all the other stuff that's happening. And it seems like everybody else does it now. Because I don't think they have depth. I don't mean her. I mean some of the other talk shows that do it. They just want to have a fight with somebody. But I went and examined throughout since Kirk was killed on September 10th, so many of the claims, not of Candace, but I'm not trying to kiss her ass. Just when I talk about the claims, most of us other people, of, oh, a guy shoots him under the arm, or, oh, it's a camera gun, and it's a bottle of water, you can see it. And then just on and on and on, and now it turned into the French and the U.S. military and the Israelis and the Egyptians and the... And she's like, I've got these planes and I've got the proof. And then multiple groups, you see it online, went and bought the data, even more data that's public. It meshes with it. Anybody can duplicate it. And most of the time, you know, she was saying these planes were here. It was actually overseas and they were another continent. So I was learning all this last week, finally forcing myself to do the deep dive on it. And when I learned days before people knew about it that they were going to meet in Nashville a couple days ago about this on Monday, I said, I bet Candace comes out and is wants to, you know, be friendly now, kind of have the cake and eat it too here, because I knew they were going there in a 4.5-hour meeting. I know it'll be that long to say, here's all this information. You know, the claims that, oh, just asking questions, but, oh, they're all stealing all the money, or, oh, you know, I'm not saying Erica Kirk did it, but, boy, they all sure wanted him dead. And so... My issue is that it's so destructive, and it became this huge soap opera where I'm at the grocery store and I'm, you know, anywhere. People are coming up asking me about it, and I'm like, I don't know. I know most of the stuff I looked at from other people saying stuff didn't turn out to be true, and I know now the last straw for me last week was Tyler Robinson in court with the trans flag tie. Find that B-roll, and he just... You're watching him, and he looks like Jeffrey Dahmer. And he's turning around. He's all proud of himself. You know, he's laughing. The leftist lawyers love him. He had at least 10 people that said he's going to be dead, you know, in the next few days. And so I did confirm Cash Patel said no investigation into that. So there is some type of cover-up going, but I don't know of what. But the idea, knowing the TPUSA people, a lot of them for a decade, I know how intelligence operations work. You don't include all these people killing him. So we heard, oh, they killed him on the stage, the lapel mic, a pop-up deal, a guy in front of him, a guy behind him. Then it was airplanes and this and that. And so it's just not the way the world works. And so I saw all of this so destructive, definitely hurt Trump in the polls. And then I just wonder where all this is going. And then I wonder if we're ever going to get any real answers. And I know you've been a critic of Candace Owens. I just know that when one issue that is like a soap opera that can't be answered, because there is questions, but then it's just this endless factory of never getting to the answers. What do you think of this whole fiasco?
Well, I think she's an amateur conspiracy theorist. I think that she's somebody who, for many years, she had other people writing her script for her. She had Ben Shapiro writing her script. She had Charlie Kirk writing her script. And it was easy enough to go and say that black people are going to vote Republican for Blexit and whatever she was supposed to say at Daily Wire. Now that she writes her own script and she's sort of glommed on to this conspiracy stuff, it's like you say, she really doesn't know how to create a theory, a conjecture, a postulate. She doesn't know how those things work. And you're right. If there's going to be some sort of grand conspiracy, you compartmentalize it. You don't get 2,000 people in a room from France, Israel, Egypt, the admin, this and that law enforcement agency and Turning Point and say, all right, everybody, so we're going to plant the explosive microphone and then we're going to do this and then you compartmentalize it. And you probably have a handful of people on a need to know basis. And maybe it's one faction of one intel agency. That's typically how these things unfold. But this is a person who is really just looking at anything based on other heuristics, like, well, Charlie wanted to audit Turning Point. So it's a cover up of a money thing. And, oh, there were some foreign people with foreign phones in the audience. So it was a foreign intelligence conspiracy. And just kind of going based on things that we've seen in the past, similar patterns, putting them all together into, I don't even know what the theory is at this point. And it's like you say,
false pattern recognition, but you're almost being too kind here. There was a sophistication, whoever, I think she is having somebody advise her, the sophistication, kind of the Q 2.0 esoteric Gnostic level of it, or maybe she's just, herself has some delusions, and so maybe she was projecting that on, but I did see some genius there.
Well, she's certainly good at what she does. It is a soap opera, and it's a serial. Every day, we're going to check in and hear about the crazy new thing. And you're right, there is something maybe sophisticated and Gnostic about it. I look at this guy who's been supporting her, John Mappin. I don't know why nobody's talking about John Mappin, the Scientologist, the heir to the jeweler that creates the crown jewels for the British royal family. He allegedly introduced her and her husband. He's been so supportive. She retweets him. He's writing letters to her. He was best friends with Charlie Kirk. His wife is from Russia. I don't know why nobody's talking about that guy. No one's talking about George Farmer. They all met through Turning Point UK. So you have Turning Point USA. She met her husband through Turning Point UK. She made a bag off of Turning Point USA and Turning Point UK. So there's definitely something suspicious going on there. Maybe a foreign intelligence play of its own, talking about the French and the French president and the French president's wife and France's involvement in this. So there could be some sophistication there. And I would say, to the extent that there is a conspiracy, no one's talking about the Mormon mafia. I don't believe that there's some grand conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. I think, like you say, it's Tyler Robinson. And when you saw him make his court appearance, he's wearing a trans tie. And why would he be the patsy? If they're supposed to be, if this is about Israel or some other thing, why do you pick some hick lib, white guy, pro-trans activist? Why would he be the patsy? And where are his parents? Where are the people like trying to defend him? It doesn't even make any sense. To the extent that there is a cover-up, it would be about the Mormon mafia, because the killing happened in Utah. Turning Point is a Mormon organization. It's Utah Public Safety that's doing the investigation. I never even heard of that on her show. She never even talks about that. Instead, she's talking about her dreams and beekeepers and, you know, almost everything else. So,
and by the way, I'm not bashing Mormons in general. A lot of them are great conservative people. But if you know about intelligence and study politics, the Mormons have percentage the highest number in federal law enforcement and intelligence. So all you're saying is, in Utah, that area, it's a zone where you could definitely, if you wanted to change the outcome of something, do it.
Exactly, exactly. And it's strange that it happened there, because that is a zone of control where they would have a lot of influence, where they have like a mafia-like kind of stranglehold. And that was never brought up, which is interesting. And I think that it's very comparable to QAnon. This is like QAnon 2.0, where all these people have been whipped up and deputized, and it's basically just destroyed people's faith in anything. It's sort of interesting. After her meeting with Erica Kirk, she did her show yesterday, and all the top comments were saying, Candace got the call, Candace made a deal, we can't trust her. But I saw many of the comments also said, now I'm just done with politics. They're fatigued. They're literally fatigued. And they are so, they have been so wound up and twisted by this whole thing. Now that Candace is backing down and walking back all the claims, now they're saying, well, I'm just done with politics because I don't know what to believe. There's no one that's telling the truth. And so there you have it. There is the proof in and of itself. This has destroyed the confidence of the people in any kind of conspiracy theory, in any kind of alternative media. Because if you have alternative media gaslighting the people, oh, it's the French, it's beekeepers, it's a spiritual battle happening in my dreams when I go to sleep at night, and then you walk it back, then people say, well, you know what? Clearly, this is just too complex or too corrupt. I'm just done with all of it.
When in reality, it really goes down to not signing UN treaties, not giving up sovereignty, deporting illegals, or H.R. 3492. And guys, check. It was supposed to be voted on like the last 30 minutes to ban all transgender surgery, MTG, and the Republicans establishment, the Spider, is trying to block it, which would be a major win for Trump. So anybody that doesn't vote for this must be on the Pritzker funding. But that's a real thing. This is real action. This is what we do 90% of the time. I get accused of being a conspiracy theorist because I'll give my opinion about what's behind something sometimes. The truth is, this show, 95% of the time, is just legislation and what's happening in the world. This is real, folks. This is something we can do.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, we are people that are actually trying to change the country. And then you get these spectacles that come up. This is what this is a big, giant spectacle. It is a black hole. It's like you say, it's a never-ending serial, a never-ending soap opera. And it's about basically science fiction. It's like a science fiction thriller. It's like a movie from the 70s. And it's actually doing damage to people that are trying to reform politics. And the problem is, a lot of these people, they just don't read. They don't read. They don't care. Candace Owens read one book. She read that book, Chaos, by like Robert O'Neill or Tom O'Neill or something like that. She read that one book. She kind of knows something's up with Israel, and that's all she needed to know. And now she's whipped up into this thing where everything's connected to everything. It's Brigitte Macron and the beekeepers and people wearing maroon shirts.
Let's be clear. I mean, I saw her like a year ago go, I just learned about the USS Liberty.
Yes.
And then I had people saying, how dare you not cover it? I only wrote books and made films about it 20 years ago. You know, and I'm in a competition with Candace. I like Candace, but it is actually true what you're saying. Isn't she emblematic, though, of people wake up, but you wake up and your fire alarm's going off. You don't know where the fire is at or if it's a false alarm. You wake up, you smell smoke, you still got to find it. I think they've all woken up, and so now they don't have any real context or depth. People go, well, you're 26. You've been doing this 10 years. Like I said, you were 12 into this stuff just like I was. So you've been doing it, you know, 20 years or whatever, or 18 years. So, and we're not trying to be elitist here. It's just that I know light years more than I knew 5 years ago. And the Alex Jones 5 years ago was pretty smart. And the Alex Jones that was 20 was more informed than the average woke, you know, patriot right now. So, but then the problem is I have all this knowledge and I give them complex answers because it's complex. And they go, and that's what I talked about yesterday. And it got spun by the media that Jones attacks Fuentes and Tucker. I didn't even say your name. So I was talking about people that said, I mean, literally had a post like a week ago, hey, Chernobyl's leaking, this is a problem. And like a third of the comments were, cover it up for the Jews, cover up for the Jews. It's like, if an earthquake happens in L.A., I'm going to talk about the earthquake, it's not about Jews. I'm all about criticizing Israel and Jews doing stuff, but that's a microcosm. It's not just those people. They've woken up, they've got informed about that, but that's their lane, and so to them, that's the only knowledge they have. Does that make sense?
100%. And I've seen this so many times because I operate more in this wacky space or whatever that does fixate on Jews, Israel, whatever. And it's like a red pill psychosis. It's like people can't handle it. They take one red pill and they say, oh, there's this sort of hidden truth. There's this esoteric truth. There's this hidden reality. But when they have no deep background, they have no general knowledge. They don't actually have a practical experience with this stuff. It goes off in all these different directions. And people start to talk about, well, that means the earth is flat. And that means that Trump is the shadow president. And that means that the Khazar Mafia, that's really what it's all about. Or, and they go down to all these different rabbit holes, all these different red herrings, because you're right, without context, without that sort of grounding, and context is really key. You do need a ton of background information to understand how we got here. It's thousands of years of history, theology, philosophy, politics. You need to have some grasp on a lot of these subjects. You really need to be read wide and deep into these subjects to begin to contextualize it. And like you say, okay, we're doing a show about the liberty. I just found out about it last year. Oh, and coincidentally, now everything is, literally everything is Israel. Charlie Kirk is Israel. The Bondi shooting's Israel. Browns is this, that, and the other. Now me, I'm going to say it's Israel, let's say 60% of the time. Now that's not good enough, because the people that got red-pilled 2 minutes ago, well, they know it's 110% of the time. And unfortunately, all that does is discredit the people that are actually doing the hard work, actually doing the research, actually reading the books, doing the hard work to figure these things out that are in touch with reality. I saw a lot of people say, well, it's the Jews every other time, so it's the Jews this time. That's like the gambler's fallacy. You know, like these are just basic logic problems that people are committing because they deliver Domino's pizzas for most of their life. Now they're a red pill savant or something. So I'm totally with you.
There was a taboo against criticizing Israel. It was used to take free speech around the world. Israel's been heavily involved in so much bad stuff. We cover it. And it's good that that taboo's gone. It's totally safe now to attack Israel all I want. But I only do it when I actually see something real. And again, it's the constant frustration of like Chinese water torture, where I'm like, hey, you know, China is making a move here. Why are you covering up for the Jews? And it's like, no, there's other things going on. It doesn't take away from the Great Awakening to foreign influence, and all that's really healthy. But exactly, people cannot then become lunatics that only know one thing. And you know, it's like when you said, let me see the evidence Israel killed Kirk. And they go, oh, you got money. It's you know, you got a $7,000 check. It's but it's also about like an elitism. Like, we're holier than thou. We're going to say actual intellectuals that are historically informed, because you know, you've debated on my show some of the best out there, and you've won those debates. I know this stuff as much as you do, or more in some cases, but I don't even say it as good as you do on the foreign policy. I mean, you're knocking out of the park, but these guys, you just say, nope, Nick's not good either, and make themselves feel good like they just got on the field with Pat Brady or Michael Jordan in their prime and beat them. But they're literally just saying, I'm better than Michael Jordan. No, you're not. And it's not about your criticism of us. It's about you growing up and being men and not just sitting around and claiming you're good, everybody else is bad. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. and it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Clear for everybody that seems to understand this. Here's the headline yesterday, and it got picked up all over national TV. I can't even keep track of it. I don't even really focus on that because I don't have time. I always wonder about the new news or legislation or geopolitical things. But what I said, not yesterday, but the day before, is all over the place with the headlines. Jones turns against Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes because of their Nazism, which is, again, not attacking them. They're not Nazis. It's lies within lies. And they show like a 2-minute clip of me talking about the people that said with no reservation that the attack over the weekend in Sydney against the Jews celebrating Hanukkah wasn't a Muslim attack and that it was, you know, Israeli Mossad. Now, has Israel staged false flags? Yeah, we've covered it et nauseum. The stand down October 7th was one. The Levon affair, USS Liberty, yeah. But no, you've got thousands of imams saying they're going into jihad now. This is the phase. They quote the Quran, how Muhammad took over Medina, and after that launched his attack. It's a formula. And so my issue is this. The politically correct groups you've seen, I can play montages that are hours long. Whites are inherently evil. Catholics are inherently evil. Christians are inherently evil. The family's evil. The nuclear family's evil. There's a lot of leftist Jewish groups funding it. So a lot of Americans and others get mad at that. It is healthy to criticize Israel. It should not be a sacred cow. It should not be a taboo. I just simply don't want to be somebody that lies about it and then uses it, again, as a black hole total diversion. So I've always said, how dare you have Nick Fuentes on back when I was being deplatformed, you know, over it. And that, and other things is like, you can't criticize him when he's mild compared to what's taught in the universities about how the West needs to die and everybody needs to die. But then there's the issue. I can play you hundreds of new videos. We already did the last few days of in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, murder them, them marching around the Melbourne Cathedral, thousands of Muslims, very threateningly, attacking Christian displays, truck attacks, all of it getting covered up, cops getting stabbed in Washington State by people screaming, Allah Akbar, doesn't even hit the national news. So Nick said a few weeks ago on my show, he said, yeah, I think Europe's got a big Muslim problem, which is true. There's three times more of them over there than here. But he said, in the U.S., it's really a red herring for Israel. Well, it's true that Israel lobby uses the threat of Islam to distract from itself. But that's like saying somebody burns down your house, you know, or burns down the business next door to a bank to divert the cops while they rob the bank. It doesn't mean that the restaurant didn't just get burned down. So it's two different things. So I'd like you to elaborate on that and actually give us your take on it. Because if you study the Quran, it's a military takeover manual. You have the Muslim Brotherhood that's allied with Obama and the Democrats and Starmer and the deep state in their larger plan. You got the UAE and Saudi Arabia who have all their own issues that have been warning about that group because that's their enemy. But if you look at terrorism historically, it's like 90% out of the Muslim Brotherhood. So my point is that, yeah, it's not existential yet here, except you have the same alliances with the left, with Islam. And so with that combination and them as the foot soldiers, so what if they're only 5% of the population or whatever? That as a motivated group that vote how they're told, donate how they're told, look at the Somalis, you know, 8 billion stolen we know of now, is that it's cancer. So I'm not trying to dunk on you and say, you know, admit you're wrong. Elaborate on it. I get your point about it being used by Israel's distraction, but then I get all this criticism constantly every time I talk about Islam, saying, why are you covering up for Israel or whatever? And to me, I just cover any foreign, powerful thing trying to take over. So whereas Israel has organization, money, control, manipulation, very sophisticated, with the Muslims, they've got a caveman book. But when humans are willing to follow an order, we're powerful. And so, I mean, I do see it as one of the main threats. So where do you see this? What's your actual views on this?
Well, my actual view on the whole situation is, of course, we want to live in a Christian country. We want to live in a country with Christian government and mostly Christian people. And I'm not in favor of bringing Muslims in as refugees from wars or even for that matter as immigrants and setting up these enclaves. I look at, for example, the Somalis in Minneapolis. I don't know that any patriotic person can say that that Minnesota, which is a land of like Swedes and Nords, Norwegians, Finnish, that this is going to turn into an enclave of Somalians wearing hijabs. And, you know, that's all the kids in the schools and all the signs are in Somalian. The mayor is speaking Somalian. I get all that. I guess I would just say, when is the last time there's even been a Muslim attack in the United States? It has to have been years. And in the meantime, we've had all kinds of other attacks from Antifa, people that hate ICE, from transgenders. There's an assortment of threats these days, and it's not to minimize it, but it's to say, you know, we live in a time of violent fanaticism. And when you look at the demographic numbers, I guess I would just say, what exactly is the threat? And people might say, well, it's obvious, it's terrorism. And okay, yeah, that's valid. I mean, there's certainly terrorism. But for example, this guy at Bondi Beach, that's in Australia, not America, firstly. But secondly, he was known to law enforcement. He was known to law enforcement specifically as someone who is connected to an ISIS terror cell. And so my question is more, this is frequently the case. These people that commit these acts of terrorism, even that Afghan that committed the shooting recently here in the CIA. United States, he was CIA. Right, exactly. He was CIA. He worked with the U.S. military. So it's like all these people that are committing the attacks, they're all in bed with the government or known to the government. Maybe we just have the government do a better job of sniffing this stuff out. I mean, there's a lot of Muslims.
No, I respect what you just said. I don't think terror is the threat. They do that once they get a big enough control of a town to push you out. That's in the Quran. In his Medina takeover, he explains how to do it. That's why they read that and they do that. It's not just random stabbings and things. The imam tells them to do it. It's a mujahideen. The real threat is they now say, we failed taking over the Europe because we did it militarily. We're going to vote ourselves in. We're going to access the war chest and take over that way. So that's the problem, is if you get up to 5-10%, look at Europe, they're a swing vote that goes with the left almost 100% of the time. So I don't see the terror as the threat. I see them not being able to help themselves, some of the Orthodox Muslims that are doing it, as them not being able to help themselves and jumping the gun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I agree with you about Europe, because that's where they're mostly concentrated. But here in the United States, it's just such a small fraction of the population. I don't consider it in that pantheon of major threats. I view it as totally secondary, because the major threat with immigration is India. India sending these like people by the hundreds of thousands here. And they are true colonists, because they will take over an entire business. You get one Indian in the business, they hire all people from their caste from India. And then in five years, whole company's India.
I mean, I on average like Indian people, okay? Don't dislike them for who they are, but I know the history right. And I saw this number about a month ago. I did a deep dive on it for like 3 hours. It's worse than they said. I saw like a Breitbart video. Pull up the Breitbart animation of it. 70% of the H-1B visas to the U.S. are from India, and something like 85% are from one province who came here 50 years ago, bought hotels, bought gas stations, and it's a mafia where they have to send the money back, and then they're big on paying off politicians. And it's true, folks, any Indian business, they do the bankruptcy thing, they're because they'll work the system. You go to the airport now, there are like 20 Indians that are young in wheelchairs. They're like, well, why shouldn't I go to the front of the line and be pushed? If it's legal, I just say I'm disabled. And I'm not, it's stereotypical, but it is happening. But it's that particular tribe, particular caste, is the vast majority of Indians coming here. And they're literally, yeah, let's play this report with audio in a minute. They literally grease the skids. So you're absolutely right that these are tribal groups. Like, we think the Somalis are an issue because they're tribal and do what they're told and controlled. We're all taught like Italians, which is really Sicilians, were a mafia. This is amateur compared to the Indians. So you're dead on about this. Let's roll this short clip.
We know from decades of government data that H-1Bs overwhelmingly go to men arriving from India. And not only do they go from men arriving from India, they come from one area in India, one small area in India. So this one, if you believe that the H-1B is bringing in the best and brightest from around the world, how is it even possible that this one region in India is producing 7 in 10 of the world's geniuses that we're bringing in on the H-1Bs?
And it gets worse than that. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to back up what you're saying. Yeah, India.
Yeah, so in terms of immigration and like a demographic takeover, it's Indians, it's Chinese, it's Mexicans, it's Venezuelans. To me, just in terms of the numbers, those are the biggest ones coming here. And then in terms of political influence, I mean, you're right that Muslims are in bed. Some of these Muslim organizations are in bed with the Democrats. But again, I fall back on, who are the biggest donors for the Democratic Party? It's like Michael Bloomberg. It's Reid Hoffman. It's like it's all pro.
That's another question. Why are prominent Jews the dominant group, along with Catholic Charities, shipping in illegals to the West?
Well, I think that Jewish people, they benefit as a group the more multicultural that America becomes. It's very simple formula, which is that if America's all white and all Christian, Jews stick out like a sore thumb, and it's easy to segregate them and easy to discriminate against them. If America's completely diverse and there's all different types of people and we're liberal and tolerant and pluralistic, well, then they're just a group among other groups. So this is just a strategy. Because, of course, in Israel, they want homogeneity. They want the country to be all Jewish. They want Netanyahu to be their king. You know, they are aggressive militarily. That's how they are when they're the majority. When they're in the minority, they want America to be as liberal and tolerant and pluralistic as possible. So that's why 80% of them are voting Democrat. That's why their billionaires are putting money behind the Democratic Party. And so that's why I would say that it's really these other groups that are the bigger issue. And don't get me wrong, I don't want Muslims influencing the country. I don't want Muslims pouring across the border. But in terms of if your problem is foreign lobbying, Democrat power players, clannish behavior, ethnic enclaves, you got all these other groups you got to worry about that just in terms of the numbers are more pernicious. And that's not because I'm like infatuated with Muslims. If we were living in Europe, I would be Tommy Robinson. If we were in Europe, I would be saying, yeah, Muslims, they're doing their call to prayer. This is a huge issue. They got to go. But we don't live in Europe. We live here. So I think we just have different problems because America is separated by an ocean from the Middle East in a way that Europe is not. So they pour into Europe over a land bridge and over a very small, strait in the sea.
Rubber boats.
And then they're in Europe. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask you this question. You seem overly or somewhat optimistic. I'm going to say overly. And I'm optimistic as well. Separate from Trump, populism rising, the West rising, Eastern Europe rising. What futures do you see? Or sometimes I see you seem optimistic, sometimes you're not. Regardless, where do you see the future going?
Well, I'm not optimistic in the short term because I think there is a cataclysm that's imminent. War with China, economic collapse, this debt crisis is going to reset the currency. But I'm optimistic because the young men seem to have woken up. And some people call me an accelerationist for saying this. I really think I'm just someone who thinks in terms of second and third order consequences. Even let's say for Europe, as an example, one reason that I'm less worried about Muslims is that let's game it out. Okay, Muslims take over Europe. Eventually that radicalizes all the white people, even the liberals. Because liberals are going to start to say, well, we want feminism and we want gay rights and we want to have a general climate of licentiousness. And is Muslim rule is not going to be conducive to that. So on a long enough timeline, you create enough Muslims in Europe. And yeah, there is like civil war conditions, but that makes the Europeans become who they are. And I'm not saying we should do that. I'm not saying let's roll the dice. I'm saying you can kind of forecast out how that will play out. And you could see how Muslims being a very imminent and apparent threat is actually going to galvanize resistance. And I view America similarly, which is to say that as America becomes more diverse, as it starts to fall apart, the young men are going to actually be galvanized by these things. That's why I've always said America first is inevitable, because if what we are saying is true, the country's going to get a lot worse. But people are going to change their behavior. People are not potted plants. They react. And so as the country gets worse, the cost to benefit ratio of engaging in politics, of being a radical, being, let's say, pro-white, pro-American, pro-Christian, it's going to change. 20 years ago, you didn't want to be a racist because it was such a high social cost. And people said, well, why do we care about race? And it was easy to say that because race wasn't really a problem. We lived in a country that was still mostly white and the diversity had not set in yet and the demographic change was not felt. And so people said, hey, man, this is like a big, happy white country with some non-white people. Who cares if they cause some problems or they're a little rude? It's not a big deal. Okay, 30 years down the line, 40, 50 years down the line, whites are the minority. Stacey Abrams is president. She's taking money from white people to give to non-white people. Like, we're at the end of a gun. We're at the end of a spear. Then people are going to start to say, wait a second, we need to look out for each other. We need to band together. So you can sort of see how the only way out is through. So I'm pessimistic in the short term. These systems and these the ways of doing things that have been the way they are for a long time, they can't go on. It's not sustainable. There will be a hard reset. There will be a true revolution in every domain of society. On the other side of that, there is an opportunity to make things better. It's not inevitable that we actualize it, but there is an opportunity that when everything comes apart, when things get really heated and hot, if the right wing has the numbers and the organization and the discipline, we can take advantage of it, and maybe we can then control the future.
Well, what you're saying is true. Sort of, I mean, after World War II, we had the baby boom. It happens in every country. when things are really good, nobody has children. Elon Musk talked about Rome was studied in Carthage. Their birth numbers were declining massively. Then they have this big war and almost get defeated, and they have this big giant boom, and then 300 years of a golden era. And this is a fact. So we're not calling for hard times, but we're in hard times. We have to bypass the brainwashing where they put you in a hard time and convince you it's a good time. We have to admit we're in this fight and start thriving now. Here's a clip of Elon.
What ended most civilizations was a low birth rate. An extended period of prosperity seems to cause birth rates to plummet. And somewhat, it's somewhat counterintuitive. When a society is under stress, birth rates increase. So if you look at, say, ancient Rome, the birth rates were super high when they were fighting the Carthaginians, and Rome's very life was at stake. Birth rates were all-time high. After they defeated Carthage and ruled the Mediterranean, the birth rates plummeted, and to such a degree that Julius Caesar even tried to pass laws like in 50 BC or something like that to give an incentive for any Roman citizen that would have a second or third child. So they were having birth rate issues in 50 BC, which is pretty wild. And that's that. That was also true of really basically every civilization throughout history. So it's how do you avoid this birth rate collapse?
And I've seen the studies. There's like five or six trees. One of them's out in California. Different species around the world that are in arid areas where they're up high. They're not getting hardly any nutrients. But because it's so bad, the trees are like 2,000 years old. But they've done studies with the same species of tree. Plenty of water, plenty of nutrient. Grows fast, gets big, dies quick. So it really is true that we have to recognize we're in crisis. And I'm not putting you on the spot. You're 26. You're still super young. But I had a couple kids by 26. Nick, you're under crisis. You're under pressure. You need to marry Cash Patel's girlfriend. I'm joking. You need to marry Laura Logan. No, not Laura Logan.
I don't want to talk about her. I don't want to get sued.
I'm sorry. Laura Logan's awesome. And so is Laura Loomer. You should marry Laura Loomer.
Well, she just got engaged. Did you see?
No.
It was just announced today. She got engaged. Alex, they're taking them from me. First Candace Owens, now Laura Loomer. There's none left. There's no women left for me. All my girlfriends are being stolen by the Trump admin, by Turning Point.
Seriously,
you got to fix me up. Laura, you got to fix me up with somebody. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, who's she marrying?
I don't know. Some idiot, I'm sure. I mean, I don't even know what that's all about. But yeah, there was maybe a future where me and Laura Loomer had some kids, moved to Israel, converted and all that. I'd be at the Hanukkah party at the White House. But yeah, no, she, I guess she had another guy waiting in the wings for her because I didn't step up. I didn't give her the ring.
Well, I'm going to be honest and go ahead and break this news here right now. Laura Loomer is my daughter.
I'm not joking. I could have married into the family.
Well, Nick, let's be serious. Did you know I'm actually the son of Benjamin Netanyahu?
I could see the resemblance.
Now, the funny thing is they're going to take that clip out and say it's real. I've joked before. All right, we're almost out of time. There's so many other big issues. I could talk to you all day. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. What is it like? Because, it's not hype that your show's gigantic. Well, the top one's out there. You're 26. And all this stuff's going on, and the establishment's done, whatever establishment it was. This is definitely, people are not politically correct now. It's only going to get crazier from here. What is it like to be the center of that zeitgeist?
Well, I feel the weight of the moment. For a long time, I was doing this, and it was just fun. It was a lot of fun and didn't have a lot of responsibility. I was just saying what I felt. And now that it's really coming down to 28 and there's questions about where the country's going to go and maybe I have a real impact on that, real influence, I sort of feel the weight of the responsibility now, the risks, the danger. People are looking to me for guidance. So I take it seriously. But it feels good because it shows that things can change. A big part of what was...
It shows the people have power. Everybody thinks they're powerless. You're a regular guy. Your pedigree's clear. Look how big effect you've had.
Yeah, and I love what you say, because sometimes we talk about this and you say that the real trick that the devil pulls is to convince people that there's no good in the world, that nothing can change, give up, it's hopeless, no one is doing the right thing. And I've lived it. I was just some 18-year-old college kid and I got canceled. I was left for dead, and my career should have been dead, but I just persevered. I just kept doing what I do. I kept just telling the truth. And eventually, I think through a lot of luck and hard work and people like you and others being supportive along the way, it turned into something that is now having an impact. And there's a million people out there that are like you and like me. They want what's best for the country. They have talents. They have ability. They have character. And I'm just calling on those people to just take that first step. Make the right decision. Start today. Tell the truth. Do something for the country. Be a patriot. We actually can change our destiny. Ultimately, it's in God's hands. But we can be used by God to do the right thing. And I think that you know, hopefully that's an inspiration. If somebody like me could do it, other people can do it also, because I started with very little and I have a lot of defects and flaws, as we all do. But it just starts with, are you going to be a part of the solution or are you going to be a part of the problem?
Well, so, what the power structure hates is if they can censor us, they can twist what we said, take it out of context. They hate people actually hearing what we actually say versus what they claim we said out of context. But people should check out your show. Are you going to do a live stream tonight?
Yes, I think I will do a show tonight.
What, like after Trump's speech?
Yes, yeah, probably. So I know you're going live. You'll cover that, and then I'll go live after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to at least be on with Bannon. I may do a simulcast like 7:30 tonight and through it. So we'll be watching. Nick, you're hard to get a hold of on the phone. He'll tell you some other stuff, so I'm going to try to – I'm off in like a minute. I'm going to call you about 5 minutes real quick, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Nick. Great interview. Thank you.
All right.
All right, very thought-provoking. Let me say this. Harrison Smith's taking over. War Room, done a great job. I'm completely maxed out. I'm just going to keep winning. I trust in God to work through you. Yeah, God does it all, but he works through us. I need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get your orders in by Friday. You'll get it before Christmas. The ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the best-selling supplements are 60% off the final days of Christmas sale. Incredible t-shirts, incredible everything, you know, ball caps, huge selection. That's what funds this operation. You do. And then we just sit here and talk about the facts and, you know, have different ideas, different opinions. It's what it's all about. But the system doesn't want this show on the air. You're the reason we stay on the air. Please do your Christmas shopping with us, and I thank you and salute those that have, and ask those that haven't, what are you thinking? These products are amazing. Take the challenge. Get our methylene blue, and you'll be addicted. It's incredible. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter Bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, waked up clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better and, you know, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's though one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.